So we've been in this Advent series of In the Waiting. And many times we finish Christmas, so we're like, it's fair game until January 1, and everybody's like, new year, new goals, new year, new me, right? And what the Lord has been showing me since September, don't think I'm holy, I'm not. I mean, I'm in process, but I'm not. I'm just stubborn. The Lord has to give me more time to get there, but there's work to be done, intentional work to prepare for a new year. And so often we get to right after Christmas and we're like, this is what I'm doing in the new year. I'm going to do all these things. And at no point do we consult the Lord. At no point do we go, God, would you show me what you want me to do in the new year? And as I've been in this journey since September, he had me in a passage, a very familiar passage to the church, because oftentimes we hear the church saying, guard your heart, guard your heart, guard your heart. But we don't go any further than that. And in my quiet time back in September, God just illuminated the passage to me. And it was like, oh, we've been so stuck on guard your heart that we've missed so much of this passage. And that's a good place to be, of guard your heart, and we'll get there. But there's so much more to it. So if you would, as we jump into this message this morning, as you're in the waiting, I want you, before you prepare for the new year, set your resolution, set your goals, we're going to set out to do some reflection, some seeking, and then I'm going to encourage you to do some surrender. So if you would, read with me Proverbs chapter 4, verses 20 to 22. My son, pay attention to what I say. Turn your ears to my words. Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to one's whole body. As I read these verses, I instantly thought of when I used to teach two-year-olds. See, I like a challenge. Many of you guys know I like a challenge. So I always got the students who were the challenging students in my classroom. Those were the best. The well-behaved students, yeah, they're great. They make the day a little easier, but the challenging ones, when you get to dig in and figure out what makes them tick, and see behavior changes and transformation, that's the rewarding part of teaching. So I love the challenge. So when you get a challenging student, they're acting wild. I would get down on their level and I'd say, look at my nose. And for the ones who would really like turn left and right, everything just stimulated them, you use your hands as blockers and go, look at me. And then you say what you needed to say. And guess what? They got it. And as I read this passage, I really felt like that's what God was saying to me. Look at my nose. Pay attention. And you know, I'm easily distracted. So I'm like, what, Lord? Huh? But look over here. Oh, wait, I need to catch up on this. And I forgot about this. And he's like, look at me. Listen to me. This is for you. This is for health for your whole body. Pay attention. So church, as we move ahead, I want to say, pay attention. It's going to get good. Proverbs 4:23 says, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Did you know that we often have encounters that impact our heart? There are times where seeds of bitterness are planted, insecurity, doubt, anger, grief. And sometimes we don't even know that it's there. But see, the Lord knows. He knows what is in our heart. And it's not until we ask him that he is willing to reveal that to us. See, he doesn't strong arm us. And it's kind of like David, right? In Psalm 139, where David writes, "Search me, God, know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me and lead me in the way everlasting." Many of you guys know this Christmas season, I have not been feeling it. I slept through ladies' tea, bailed out on one of my family Christmases. You can tell which family I bailed out on. But it wasn't until I was laying in bed Christmas morning that I finally asked the Lord, "What is going on? Like, I'm not depressed. I'm not, like, I don't feel sad. I just don't feel like doing Christmas. I'm tired of hearing the Christmas music. Everybody's like, Christmas, Christmas. And I'm like, that's nice. I'm excited about the Lord, but I don't want to do Christmas. What is going on?" And it wasn't until Christmas morning when I finally asked that question that the Lord was like, "Last Christmas, you were so consumed with making sure your best friend made it through grieving her husband that you weren't even focused on your own grief. And yet it all just came rushing back this year of, we made 12 years of traditions, 12 years of birthday plans, 12 years of Christmases, and that was all gone. And last year I didn't stop to grieve it. I didn't even like put it before the Lord. I was just like, Lord, show me how to get my friend through this holiday. How do we get her through to get her into the next year? And we're going to tackle this thing head on. This is where my stubbornness kicks in, because I'm like, there's a wall, let's charge it, let's go. And that was the wall I was willing to like fight for and climb. And this year just all came flooding back. And the Lord was like, at no point did you ask me. When you asked me, I told you. But I wasn't going to strong arm you to do so. So, what's God asking you to search your heart for? What's God saying? Invite me in so I can show you. See, he's a gentleman. He's not about to bum rush you and be like, you're going to do this thing. It's an invitation. Will you accept the invitation to ask the Lord to show you your heart? That was a little heavy getting started right out the gate. Are you guys good? All right, let's keep reading. Keep your mouth free of perversity. Keep corrupt talk from your lips. The Bible has so much to say about our mouth and the words that we speak. In Proverbs 18, verse 21, we read, "The tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit." Ephesians 4:29, "Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building up others according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen." James chapter 3 and verse 10, "Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be." If you are like me, your mouth gets you in trouble. I know. Surprise, surprise.
You don't have any friends in that camp.
At all. But here we are. So, and it's not even that God expects us to be perfect, but our heart and our mouths go together. The end of the last portion of Matthew 12:34. Come here, Casey. She'll come visit. Says, "For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of." So the bitterness, insecurity, anger, doubt, and grief that we just talked about, if we don't address those things as seeds, they will continue to grow. And it will begin to seep from your heart out of your mouth. But in modern times, can we just say that our mouth is not the only thing? We got to watch our fingertips. Because we get on social media. We get on emails, we start texting, Yeah, I've sent a couple of those emails. Full-blown confession. And then I've had to come have a conversation later because the email was sent prematurely and I didn't stop to go, all right, Lord, how should I refine this? James 1:19 says, my dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. And if you've spent any extended time around me, you know that God is still refining me here, but also refining my facial expressions because they come with subtitles. Just being honest. Did you say not you? We love you, Charles. Let's continue on. So we've done our heart. We've done our mouth. Now we're going to deal with our eyes. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. So a few months ago, we did child dedication back in November. And in preparation for that, I sat with the parents and told them to cast vision. As they prepare for their children to leave their homes, what do they want their child to be like? How do they want their child to be? Do they want them to be independent, kind, smart? Like, what qualities do you want to put into your child? See, casting that vision gave them a path to walk on, gave them vision, gave them direction to fix their eyes. So in life, we create goals, SMART goals, as many of us have come to know them as: specific, measurable, achievable, relevant, and time-bound. And why do we do this? This helps us to fix our vision because we are so easily distracted. So in August, another semester of seminary started. And I committed to the Lord, regardless of what happens, I will not let my quiet time go or my prayer time lapse. That was great. I started school in August, except first week of September, my schedule shifted, and I now had a longer commute because I needed to go pick up my niece, many of you guys know, and then we went to the school. Then I waited for her to get out of class at the end of the day and then drove back and then drove myself home. My devotion time was safe, but my prayer time, it quickly was gone. And don't you know, 2 days in, all four speakers of my stereo, of my car stereo blew, all at the same time. How does that happen? Doesn't typically. But instantly, God was like, this is now your prayer time. You were riding in silence. Congratulations. And funny thing about that is the second weekend of September, my brother fixed all four speakers. And wouldn't you know, God was like, don't turn that radio on. But God, I'm listening to good music. I'm listening, 98% of the time, I'm listening to Christian music. This is good music. But my music was a distraction. It was a distraction to relationship. It was a distraction to my prayer time. Do you know, when God finally gave me permission to turn my radio back on, it was on for 2 days. And it felt so weird that 98% of the time now, my radio is off. And my car is prayer time. And it is amazing, but it has helped focus me. It has eliminated distractions. It has helped me keep my eyes on Jesus. So I share all that with you to say, or to ask you, church, what is distracting you from your God time? What's distracting you from achieving goals? Not just doing good things, but doing the God things, the things that God has called you to do, but you are so distracted that you can't complete them. And for some of you, you can't even start them. Can I just tell you that the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy? And when he can't do those, he distracts. Because distraction is a gateway to destruction. Distraction is a gateway to destruction. So let's carry on. I'm going to have you guys read the next two verses with me. Give careful thought to the paths for your feet and be steadfast in all your ways. Do not turn to the right or to the left. Keep your foot from evil. I feel like I often say this when I'm preaching, but it makes for a good analogy. One of my side hustles is pet sitting, dogs and cats. And for some of the dogs that I keep, we actually have to go for a walk. Do you know walking dogs at night is the absolute worst thing possible? Even with the flashlight, because it never fails, if you are not super cautious, you are gonna step in some boo-boo. And if you do not catch it early on, you're taking that boo-boo back in the house with you and creating a big old mess. Do you know that majority of the time we don't instantly go, there's evil, let me step into it. A lot of times it starts very small, with small compromises. It starts with just one scene, one click, one white lie, a few dollars misused, but then it grows to more scenes, more clicks, more lies, more misused dollars, and suddenly we find ourselves in a snare. For me, I started watching your average crime-fighting shows, NCIS, SWAT, Criminal Minds. It was all great. Truly enjoyed those shows. But then I got into true crime and documentaries. They became like puzzles that I wanted to solve. But during one of my classes this semester, I became convicted. Because as local crimes would come up in my feed, I no longer cared about the people who were impacted, but I wanted to solve the crime. I wanted to solve the mystery. And the conviction came for me that what God sees as sin, I'm using as entertainment. And I became numb. And I can't rightfully use sin as entertainment and then come in here and say, and sing the songs of worship of break my heart for what breaks yours, Lord. But then step back outside and go, who's getting hurt today? And how can we solve it? And so God impressed upon my heart to turn it off. And it was hard. It was really hard. But what he's taught me in that is the small compromises, while they're small at first, they lead to bigger compromises. So you don't ever start out wanting to be unfaithful, but it's the small steps that lead you there. So what I'm going to ask is, church, is there a place in your life where maybe you left the path, where you had a conviction, but just one small compromise at a time, you began to say, it's not so bad. And before you know it, you've allowed something in your life that does not align with the man or woman of God that God desires you to be. So there's a song that we used to teach children. And to be honest, I have not taught our children here because I never thought of it until I went to write this message. But there's a song that we used to sing to kids that was, oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. For the Father up above is looking down in love. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. And then we go on with our ears and our tongue and our hands and our feet. And I want to say that song's not limited to the view of children, but rather we need to consider that we are the children of God. That song still applies to us. And we need to be on guard. So as you are waiting, or as you are in the waiting for the new year, will you use that time wisely to ask God, what is in my heart? God knows our heart more than we know our own heart. And when we ask him, he does answer. He's so kind. He doesn't show us everything all at once. He shows us one thing at a time, because if he were to show us everything that was there, we'd be a little overwhelmed and throw up our hands and quit before we ever got started and be like, God, too much. I'm done. So what's in your heart? Felt like Capital One there. What's in your wallet? That just clicked in my brain. But what's in your heart? What is distracting me? Our distractions are not always bad things. Sometimes they are good things that are misplaced. I talked about my music earlier, but my phone is my number one distraction, especially when I'm emotional or overwhelmed. I will jump on my phone and doomsday scroll through Facebook, Instagram, do my little puzzle, do my little coloring pages, and hours will pass, and I'll be like, oh, look, it's time to go to bed. Nothing got done. It's fine. It's tomorrow's issue, which is against the Bible anyway. Why put off for tomorrow what you can do today? But I do it. I'm just being honest. And then lastly, where have I stepped off the path? The Bible teaches us what's right, what's not right, how to get right, and how to stay right. And a lot of times, what it teaches is countercultural. And sometimes we can allow culture to be the standard, which causes us to step off the path. But if we are going to be followers of Jesus, our standard comes from him. And his standard starts with love. Love God, love your neighbor, love yourself, love your enemies. After you reflect, seek God, repent, and surrender, I want to encourage you to find an accountability partner. This is new to me, but we're doing it. A trusted person who will check in with you to see if you're doing what you said you would do. Many of us want to start the new year with grand gestures of all we will accomplish, but if we take the time to intentionally prepare ourselves for the new year with the Lord, we will find greater success. Proverbs 16:9 reads, "In their hearts, humans plan their course, but the Lord establishes their steps." So let the Lord establish your steps in 2026.